We're going to continue with the series that we have commenced with our strength to strength theme. And the series is called Things That Make You Strong. Last week we looked at the power of us doing life together as a Christian community. This keeps us strong. I love gathering with the believers, either in a big group or a small group. It doesn't matter how you feel beforehand, I believe we always feel better afterwards, isn't that right? Just to gather, to worship, to laugh, to cry, to hear the word, to hang out together. I've got to tell you, every time I leave a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, I feel better than when I arrived, because it's the power of us. It's something that gives us strength. It's doing life together. It's a thing that makes us strong. And this weekend, we're going to continue with that by looking at not dependence on one another, as we looked at last week, but dependence on God. Having dependence on God. And the word dependence really means a reliance or a trust or a confidence. And I've called this message Lean on Me, which is kind of loosely based on a song. If you're my vintage, you will remember the hit that Bill Withers had in the early 70s, which is, of course, the best version of the song. If you're from the 80s or the 90s, I think Denny Hines and the Rock Melons had a hit with Lean on Me. Club Nouveau had one too, with a bit of a reggae beat. And Glee, if you're around 15 or younger, you will remember the Glee version. And you probably thought it was a Glee original. But I just want to let you know there is no such thing. They're good songs, but they're all old, renewed. And so I want us to look at leaning on God, having a dependency on God. And we've gone to Colossians. Let's have a look at chapter 1 and verse 11. Colossians 1 and chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And so that's the first of three verses we're going to look at in Colossians. Being strengthened. When you're feeling weak, you need to be strengthened, and you need to be strengthened with all power. The Greek word there is dunamis. It's the word that we get our word dynamo from. I've heard preachers say it's the word we get our word dynamite from, which is probably quite true, but I don't want the effect of dynamite in our life, you know, because dynamite explodes things and wrecks things. I like the concept of dynamo. When I was a little kid, I had a push bike, and I had lights on my push bike that were driven by a dynamo. And so with little effort of pedaling, it was able to do something that I couldn't do in my own strength, and that is generate light so I could see where I was going when I was riding my bike at night. And that's what this Greek word means. It means it's a dynamo, it's dunamis, it's power that will come into your life that is far beyond the effort that you might put in as an individual. And I love that concept, because there are times and seasons where we feel weak, where we're lacking in strength, and just putting in a little bit of effort when we come to an almighty God and put our dependence on Him, when we lean on Him, He will bring dunamis into our lives. He will bring a dynamo into our lives that will bring a charge, that will bring an energy to give us what the second part of that verse talks about, that He will give us power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. The words great endurance mean a cheerful endurance or a constancy. There are times when we all have to endure something and we're not enjoying it, but you're still able to be cheerful in the midst of it. And I believe that's a very important thing. It doesn't mean that you don't admit what's going on and the pain of it or the grief or whatever, but you still are able to bring a cheerfulness in, because you're receiving strength from God even in the midst of great difficulty. Great endurance and patience. Look down to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. Last verse of this chapter. And Paul says here, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy. Isn't that amazing? Because normally when we think of struggling, it's struggling with my energy, with your energy. But Paul had learned a great truth of leaning on God, of dependence on God, and he labored, struggling with all of his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The word labor there means to work hard. And I believe that it's important as Christian men and women to have a good work ethic, to be hard workers and not slackers. But we labor, we work hard, but we struggle with all of his energy. The Greek word is energeia, energy which so powerfully works in me. The word struggling there is the word that we get our word agony from. And so he says, I work hard, sometimes agonizing. And that Greek word means these things. It means to compete for a prize. It means to contend with an adversary. It means to endeavor to accomplish something. I was talking to a young man the other day, a member of our church who does a lot of training. He's has a choice, actually, potentially of training for the Olympics or training to play AFL, football. And so they're two great kind of goals that he's got in front of him. And we talked about his training regime. And after we chatted, I just felt like lying down somewhere. Because it's crazy, you know. He's like, he'll train for the athletics and then he'll go to footy training and he'll do it 6 or 7 days a week, hours every day. And so he's working hard. He's struggling. Sometimes he goes into a place of agony, but he's competing for a prize. How much more should we, as the men and women of God who are going to receive an eternal prize, work hard, sometimes going into a place of agony, but all doing it with his energy, which is a dunamis yet again inside of us. There is miraculous power that God wants to give to each and every one of us if we would only depend on him. And it's so important, church, because if you're anything like me, you catch yourself halfway through trying to do it all on your own. And then it's suddenly, oh, that's right. I've got this whole wealth available to me, this whole treasure of the energy of God. And it's just a prayer away of dependence, of putting your trust and reliance back on him. Thank you, Lord. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Your strength is perfected in my weakness. And it's having a revelation of those truths in our lives moment by moment. Let's go down to Colossians 2 and verse 6. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. And then he starts to give the picture of a tree that Georgina talked about last week when she was talking about connect groups. We're to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amazing picture there. I want you to see in your mind's eye right now, the picture of a beautiful, big, strong tree. And that's what God wants each and every one of us to be like. He says, as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, be rooted in Christ. The word means to be stabilized. And so this is a strong, like an oak tree, big trunk, root system going right down into the ground, even through rock. Gale force winds can blow against it and it's standing strong. It's not going anywhere. That's the picture of you and I. The Bible says that we have been called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so we send our roots deep down in him by not just receiving Jesus, but by continuing to live in him, being rooted in him, and then built up in him, this strong tree growing up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and then overflowing with thankfulness, which is our fruitfulness in Christ. Dependence is the recognition of our complete need for God's strength and the frailty of our own human power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 is one of the many paradoxes in Scripture. And it says, the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Not that God has any weakness. That's not what this is saying here. But if God had a weakness, God's weakness would still be stronger than the strongest thing that I could do. That's how great and how mighty he is. That's the sort of person I want to be dependent on. How about you? And so when it comes to things that make us strong, dependence on God actually comes out number one. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I spent 3 days doing a word study on strength and strengthened and strengthening and strong and stronger and strongest and mighty and energy and all of these things in Scripture. And the theme that came out, number one, over all of the other things that make us strong, is what I'm sharing with you tonight. This is the number one key for each and every one of us to walk strong in life in Jesus Christ, and that is our dependence on God. And so with that in mind, I've given you a whole stack of scriptures that we're just going to spend a bit of time reading right now, but I want you to spend some time meditating on these truths, and there might be one or two of these verses that really leap out to you as you're reading through these. So underline them or mark them and spend time maybe even memorizing two or three of these verses, committing them to heart and meditating on them, especially when you're feeling weak in life. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability, or literally the power, to produce wealth. 1 Chronicles 29 and 12, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. 2 Samuel 22, 33, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. In 2 Samuel 22, 40, you armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. Psalm 18, 1 and 2, and I've underlined some of these words here because they are beautiful pictures of the strength of God. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The word horn there literally means strength. He is the strength of my salvation. Aren't they wonderful words? Every time you look at one of those words, you get a picture. Rock. Not a pebble, not just some sort of, it's a rock. I see big rock. Anyone with me? I see big rock, immovable rock. I'm leaning, I'm depending on the rock, and I fully trust that the rock will not move. God, our rock, my fortress. Again, what a picture. When I was looking at this, I was thinking of things like Petra, the old city that was built into the rock. And it was centuries before they were finally conquered. Because it was so difficult to conquer this city of Petra, because it was actually literally built into rock. And places like the fortress of Masada, if you know your history, beautiful pictures. My deliverer, my rock, my shield, my strength, my stronghold. That's what God is like to us. Psalm 22, 19. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Psalm 29, 11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 59, 9. O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. Psalm 59, 16, 17. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The word portion means inheritance. God is my inheritance forever. Psalm 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I've given you a string of other references there in Psalms and Proverbs and Isaiah. You can look up in your own time. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even teenagers grow tired and weary, and regen men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isn't that great? Amen. The word hope there, those who hope on the Lord or those who wait on the Lord, is the Hebrew word kavah, Q-A-V-A-H. It means to bind by twisting together to make a rope. And this is what I want you to see here. I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but for those of you who weren't here, our strength is like a piece of cotton. It's just this little thin thread that is so easily snapped, so easily broken. And God gets this big rope, which is His strength, and He wraps the cotton around it, and then it's unbreakable. And that's what it's like. And isn't it funny, you know, like we're a piece of cotton and sometimes we think we're so great. You know, oh, look how strong I am. Yeah, you're a bit of thread. But it's when we're connected to God, we're truly strong. You know, it's like when we say, I want to help you, God. I always think of that. I want to serve you, Lord. I always think of that whenever Trinity comes to me and says, I want to help you, Daddy. Because I always know it's going to take longer now. Isn't that right? She wanted to help me this afternoon. We had tacos for dinner before we came out. They were really yummy. Anyone not had dinner yet? They were delicious. Absolutely. You should have smelt that mince as it was cooking. It was amazing. Grated cheese and sour cream and grated carrot. And, you know, it was all good. So I grated two carrots and then Trinity said, I'll help you put it in the bowl right there. I knew there was a cleanup job about to be done. Yeah. But how often are we like that with the Lord? I'm going to serve you, God. Yeah, okay. Make a mess. I'll clean it up afterwards. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, 24. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 16, 19, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. Habakkuk, what an amazing little prophet he was. Some of you are going to have a cup of coffee in a few minutes' time. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And you've got to understand that this was written to an agricultural group of people, okay? And so it's all about agriculture. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. And then he gives us the reason why. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And so what Habakkuk is saying here is, everything has got as bad as it could possibly be. Everything agriculturally has failed, and yet he said, even in the midst of this, I will rejoice in the Lord because the Lord my God is my strength. I thought I might update this a little bit because we're really, you know, some of you might have fig trees, but we don't really have a lot of, you know, kind of agricultural stuff going on in Bayside, Melbourne. And so this is what it would mean in our present day. Though there are floods that destroy the crops, and the ANZ has sacked 1,000 workers, though the manufacturing industry is in decline and Greece may default on its debt at any moment, though the banks increase interest rates and summer is nearly over, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then Paul goes on and talks about the armor of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. 2 Timothy 4:16, 17, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. How important that is. Over the years, I've found myself at times a little weary from serving God. I'm sure I'm in good company. And it's invariably at those times that I realize that I've been trying to do it all in my own strength, or at least some of it in my own strength. And I've forgotten this truth. And I want to remind myself and you of that truth tonight, because if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. When you find yourself tired, when you find yourself weak, yes, rest, but also rely on God. Henri Nguyen says this: the main obstacle to loving God is service for God. That hit me when I read this during the week. The main obstacle to loving God is service for God. In other words, we can get so caught up in doing that we spend no time being. Oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm serving you, God. I'm serving you, God. I'm doing this. I hope you appreciate it. And God says, yes, I do appreciate it, but what I would appreciate right now is for you and I to spend a bit of time together, you know, to hang out. And sometimes as the people of God, we can be so service-focused that we get disconnected from the God we're serving. And I just want to bring that in because it is Contribute Weekend, and I want each and every one of us to be doing at least something to contribute to this family of God. But let us never, ever be serving God and forgetting about the God that we've served. And let's check our heart's attitude as well as to why we serve. Because sometimes we can be serving God because of guilt. Sometimes we know in our heads that Jesus has died on a cross and that his sacrifice is sufficient, but there's sometimes that kind of nagging doubt on the inside of us that says, well, maybe it wasn't quite enough and I better work hard for Jesus just to make sure. And maybe it's out of some guilt of something you did in the past and you're trying to serve God now to make up for the guilt of what you did. Or maybe you're serving God because you regret something you should have done in the past and you've been ever making up ever since. Or someone said to you as a younger person, you'll never amount to anything, and you've spent the rest of your life trying to prove them wrong. They are all attitudes and motives that will lead you to being burned out and weary in serving. We got to serve for one reason and one reason alone, is because we are gripped by a love of God and we are filled with His Spirit and we know that we love Him and that we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ through His death and resurrection, and out of intense gratitude to Him and love for His family, we want to make a difference. And that's it. That's it.